This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. We're going to dig into this violent, domestic violent extremist, how the communists under Joe Biden try to classify you as that. We're going to dig into that here in just a moment. Why they're actually angry about Tom Homan's security detail and the costs around it. A couple Secret Service agents got in a cat fight outside of Obama's house, and so much more coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show. I am going to try to get to a bunch of emails and things, but we have other stuff we have to get to, and I will get to the Trump Putin stuff. But I'm going to first begin right here. Why is it that we are really bothered when a famous, rich, important, air fingers quote, important person is rude to someone who works for them, or a waiter, or maybe when somebody gets pulled over and they tell the cop when they're on their third DUI, don't you know who I am? What is it about that that grades on us so much? What is it? Well, let me explain. It actually speaks highly of you as a person, if that's the kind of thing that bothers you, because the truth is there is something so admirable about having power that you don't use. That is so incredibly admirable. Remember that time I was interviewing my buddy Ed Lattimore. I couldn't think of his last name. Heavyweight boxer Ed Lattimore. And I flat out asked him, because I've always found this fascinating. You're a heavyweight boxer. Do you ever walk around and just think, I could just take whatever I wanted in here and nobody can do anything about it? And of course, he kind of laughed it off because Ed's a good guy, but it's admirable to have power. It's a good thing to have power and not use it, and vice versa. If you do abuse it, because look, if you're a big, important celebrity, you can abuse waiters and waitresses. You can abuse the maid. You can talk down to every. You have the ability to do that. No one's going to be able to hurt you in any way for it, not financially or anything like that. I forget what the name of the actor, but there was some audio came out a few years ago. He just lost his mind, and the audio got released behind the scenes. He was screaming at the extras and the lighting guys and just made a big jerk out of himself. I forget who it was. I think it might have been Christian Bale. I think it was Christian Bale. It was. Oh, Corey's telling me it was. And he caught all kinds of flack for it. You can do that. Didn't hurt him a bit. Helped his career. Holding back on using your power is admirable, and it's something that you admire, and I admire. But as we discussed, and we've discussed many times before, including earlier on this show, the communist does not share your value system. You will never ever be able to oppose these people. You'll never be able to effectively fight against them and what they want until you get that through your skull. They do not share your value system. This whole don't use power thing is absurd to the communist. Now, don't get me wrong. They understand full well those are your values and they will use your values against you, but the communist only believes in using power. If you were to hook him up to a lie detector test and ask him what he thinks of not using power, he'd laugh at you. He'd mock you. Wait, these guys took power and didn't use it? What a bunch of suckers. He believes in using his power. And that leads us to the newest story from today. How in the world could the Biden administration, could Democrats, how could they do the evil things they did? Why would they do the evil things they did? This is from Tulsi Gabbard. Remember, she's the new DNI chief. She has seen the documents. Listen very closely to what she says.
And there's a consistent thread through here that these ideologies that they are designating as turning into potentially violent activities or being manifested in violent activities happen to be those of people who were using their First Amendment rights to oppose certain policies of the Biden administration. And while some of the examples that are focused on there have to do with those who opposed the COVID vaccine mandates, those who opposed the mask mandates, parents who were concerned that their children going to school may be forcibly vaccinated with the COVID vaccine without the consent or awareness of parents. The list goes on and on.
The Biden administration used the powers of government to classify you as a potential domestic violent extremist if you thought it was bad that the government tried to force you to take a vaccine to keep your job. They classified you as a terrorist. Let's do another one. James Comey went on MSNBC. This is what he had to say.
Probably there could be changes at the margins, but in the main, we have the tools. There are cultural impediments to doing this work. Let's say you work in the FBI. You know that one of the two political parties is, let me put it nicely, white supremacist adjacent at a minimum. And so why would you want to throw your career on that side?
Communists have always sought to use their power. Government power. We're not talking about running for office, Democrats versus Republicans. We're not talking about that. But government power is such an awesome responsibility because it's so much power. If you're sitting at the FBI, CIA, NSA, you're sitting at the Pentagon, you have an unbelievable amount of power at your fingertips to go after and smash any individual, groups of people. That power rests in your hands. But of course, a normal person like you would say, well, yeah, but you can't use it for that. That power should only be used for what? For America, for the country itself. That way of thinking is absurd to the communist. The communist only sought out that power so he could use it against his political enemies. And that everyone must get through their thick skulls. You must understand wherever he finds power, whatever it is, he could be running the public library. He could be running the White House. He could be running the military, the FBI. He could be running a university. He could be running your church. He could be running whatever. Wherever he has power, he uses it. And he uses it on behalf of the revolution. He is not morally held back in the way you are morally held back. He doesn't want to be. He finds that, frankly, absurd. He only seeks it to use it against his political enemies. And they follow the exact same playbook everywhere they've ever taken power. They will always act as if they are forced to use that power against their political opponents for national security reasons, of course. This isn't unique to modern Democrats. Stalin used to do the exact same thing. Mao used to do the exact same thing. Those guys, believe it or not, with all the power they had, still knew deep down they had to try to justify the evil things they were doing. So they were always out to find enemies of the state and saboteurs and domestic violent extremists. And look, I had no choice but to send the NKVD in and pull all his fingernails out and shoot him in the head in front of his wife. Otherwise, he was going to sabotage the Soviet Union, and we can't allow that. It was for national security reasons. I certainly didn't want to. Don't think our modern communists are any different.
We need to take three steps. One, make sure that Elon Musk doesn't get to just pretend that he's stepping back. We need to hold him accountable. Two, everyone needs to know that it's illegal for Elon Musk to stay a federal employee past May 30th. That's what federal law says. And three, Democrats need to make clear we're not going to go easy on this guy if we retake the majority. We can use our subpoena and investigative power in a majority to look into Musk or any other billionaire that has broken any criminal laws, enriching themselves using the power of the White House.
That's Congressman Greg Caesar. He's just opining on television about his intention to use subpoena power against the billionaire he doesn't like. And he wouldn't dream of not doing that. Why get power if I can't smash my enemies? Oh, he's not alone.
Listen, so long as we end up taking the House, which I fully anticipate that we will do, and we are going to work hard to obviously help our Senate colleagues as well, then as someone who serves on the Oversight Committee and hopes to lead the Oversight Committee, I can guarantee you that we will do what we are supposed to do as constitutionally sworn members of the House, which means that we will conduct oversight. That means that we will investigate. We will look at whether or not this president himself has violated the Emoluments Clause as it relates to, say, such things as getting a $400 million plane from the Qataris. We also will make sure that we're looking into all these business deals that they have going on.
The communist uses power. And so let's talk about this domestic violent extremist thing and where this goes and how this ends. Before we do that, let me talk to you about... I'm so embarrassed. I don't even want to talk to you about it. About Fred's seasonal allergies. I've had a lot of dogs. Airedales, Black Labs, Yellow Labs. We've had pit bulls. We've had all kinds of dogs. Fred is the only dog that has ever struggled with seasonal allergies. Of course. And thank the good Lord for Rough Greens, because that has helped a lot. Fred used to go chew on his paws because the allergies were getting him so bad. He'd chew on them until they would bleed. But now we sprinkle Rough Greens on Fred's food. It's nutritional supplements, vitamins and minerals and digestive enzymes and omega oils and antioxidants. Just like you, allergies improve when you introduce real nutrition into your diet. You want a healthier dog that lives longer without seasonal allergies? Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse and get a free jumpstart trial bag or call 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show love, hate, death threats. Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. Email those into Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. And also, let me go ahead and warn you right off the bat. You're going to be really angry with me next week. You're going to hate me next week. And it's not my fault. On Monday, we will be here. We will do a live show. We will do Medal of Honor Monday. And then you won't see me again the rest of the week. This is not on me. There's all kinds of suit things that I am being beckoned to. This is not even something I have the option of saying no to. So you will have Monday's show, and then I will be gone for the rest of the week, but then I'll be back in the following one, just a heads up. Back to what we were discussing. As soon as a communist takes power, he will immediately begin to figure out how to keep it and get more of it. And if you're not morally held back, one of the best ways to do that is to use your political power to smash your political opponents. That is really the true essence of why the Biden administration did so many of the things they did. Why the vaccine mandate for the military? That doesn't make any sense. We knew very early on this virus was not something that was going to affect young, healthy people. It just wasn't. So why give out a mandate to the military? Well, think about who got kicked out. It were all Republicans. Was there a single Democrat in the military who got kicked out for refusing the vax? No. Those herd animals lined up for their 19th booster shot every single time. So boom, just like that, you purged your political opponents. Why would you go to the FBI and tell the FBI, hey, there are some parents... and these parents are showing up at school board meetings and they're mad. No. They haven't hurt anybody or anything like that. But these parents are angry. They're yelling at us about the COVID mandate stuff we're doing. They're yelling at us about all the gay Black Lives Matter crap we're teaching in schools. Hey, FBI, you should start a file on these people. And they did. Remember our friend of the show, former FBI special agent Steve Friend, he said on the air, you've heard him say it before, he was assigned to child pornography cases, which that has to be basically the most gross, horrific thing in the world, but you're tracking down these monsters. The Federal Bureau of Investigation pulled him out of that assignment and sent him to the parking lot of school board meetings to jot down license plates of angry parents so the FBI could open a file on them. Now, why? What's the true purpose? Well, what if I could get the communist FBI to start a file on all my political enemies? That would be quite a benefit, wouldn't it? If they had a file on you, if they could somehow justify spying on you, gathering information on you. Oh, yeah, good point, Chris. Remember this little fiasco? Why did the FBI, and don't kid yourself, it wasn't just one memo. Why do you think the FBI infiltrated the church?
They were looking, the FBI in the Richmond field office was looking to put sources in churches, have informants in Catholic parishes. That's what they were looking to do. Someone needs to give them a lesson in the First Amendment. This memorandum that they put together that we now have, this memorandum talks about doing just that. And it was signed off on by two senior analysts and the chief division counsel there. How can a lawyer sign off on something like, and frankly, but for the whistleblower, I don't know that this wouldn't still be going on. And this thing was sent out to all the other field offices.
Again, they tried to act like it was nothing, like it was one piece of paper. You just heard Jim Jordan. This got sent up the chain of command, and every single level it got to is, yep, approved, yep, approved, yep, approved. But why? What's the real reason? Of course, they're not trying to find domestic violent extremists. Where do you think you're going to find, most likely, the largest group of people who don't want to live in the U.S. of gay? Where do you think you will find those people? They're going to be in church. Lots of those people are going to be in church. If you'd like a way to get a foot in the door and figure out how to spy on and gather information on your political enemies, let's get some FBI agents into the church and let's find out who exactly decides they don't like this tranny stuff. That could be a terrorist. What happened under the Biden administration was Democrats Unchained. Years and years of filling the government with communists. Combine that with the fact we had a cadaver president and evil demons like Anita Dunn actually running the country. And what you got was a four-year window into what they really want and why they really want it. Every single place they found power, from the military, CIA, FBI, wherever it was, wherever they had the tiniest bit of power, they used it on you. That is what they believe. And that is what we are up against. That's a reminder. Speaking of what we're up against, the abortion industry has never been better, I'm very sad to say. And I've told you a lot of times about Preborn. We have Dan Steiner with Preborn. He's going to join us in just a moment to talk about what's going on and what they're doing and other things. Before Dan comes in, I love that you are starting to send me emails about what Hillsdale course you are taking right now. I love that. And please keep doing that. You keep emailing me about your favorite course at Hillsdale or whatever one you're taking right now at no cost. I'll keep reading them on the air. Hillsdale is doing something that I so appreciate because they could charge for that. They have more than 40 online courses for free. You want to learn more about the Book of Genesis? Go ahead. They'll give it to you for free. Rise and Fall of the Roman Republic? Free. You want to learn about capitalism? Free. No cost to my listeners. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. Go. Look through the courses. Listen to them on your phone while you drive, at home with your kids. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Go, tell me what your favorite course is. We will get with Dan Steiner at Preborn. Then we'll do some emails. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday as I guess we get our week going here officially. And look, as you are well aware, abortion is a topic that I will talk about on this show. I am passionate about it. I don't apologize for it. I think it is disgusting what we have allowed this country to turn into and how we've just accepted it. Nah, it's just a nothing. It's no big deal. It's just a number. It's not a number. It matters a lot. And you know how passionate I am about preborn. And I thought maybe today would be a good day to hear from the man himself, Dan Steiner. He's the founder and chair of Preborn. He does tell me every time we get together that he's not the CEO. Who is the CEO, Dan?
Hey, it's your best friend and mine, Jesus Christ. Jesse, glad to be on the program.
No, I'm honored to have you here. Dan, people have heard me talk about Preborn for a long time on this show, and I'm blessed that they know you like I know you now, at least the organization. But they don't know the beginning, how it started, and why it started. And why don't you tell that tale?
Yeah, glad to do it. And thanks for this partnership. Your listeners have been great in saving babies, man. It's awesome. So about 30 years ago, something happened in my life that changed me forever. I met Jesus, and I've not been the same a day since. And I was a Christian, didn't know how to be a Christian, so I ordered these brochures from Last Days Ministries on every topic of how a Christian should respond. Here's one on abortion. And I thought, you know, I opened this brochure up, Jesse, and had a little infant whose organs had been harvested by Planned Parenthood. Yeah, they do that, and they sell them. And barbaric. And I thought, this is crazy. This is happening in Christian America. And I, you know, so that set me on a path of what works, what stops abortion. One day, you know, I get up between 4:30 and 6:30 to seek the Lord and really felt his broken heart over this issue. He sees every abortion. He has, it says in Psalm 139, all these babies days ordained from them when there's yet none of them. And I thought, what can I do, Lord, to alleviate your pain? Because you see every one. And that set me on track to find out what does stop abortion. And protest is good. We should protest, you know, the barbaric killing of children in our backyard. You know, legislation is good, but they turned over Roe versus Wade. And the year after that, there were more abortions, 100,000 more than the year before. So, you know, those things were not very effective. But reaching women, sending them into a clinic, loving them, showing them their baby on ultrasound and helping them for the next 2 years in their pregnancy, that works. That saves lives. So I went into the pregnancy center movement, and then it worked. The anointing of the Lord was on it. And so we said, well, we need to do this nationally and help pregnancy clinics all across the country, start pregnancy clinics all across the country, put two centers in New York City so far this year, one in Brooklyn, one in Bronx, where there's more abortions than there are live births in some of those neighborhoods. And yeah, it's terrible. And so that's how it kind of started. And it was started, really, it's an offering to the Lord. I know how that's how you feel about it too, Jess. You're not doing this for any other reason than please Jesus, and it's the right thing to do. You know, your listeners have been tremendous help. So I'm very thankful.
Well, there are a bunch of lions out there listening, and I appreciate them very much. Can you explain, Dan, for people that get confused about some of the numbers and the why, how in the world can we overturn Roe versus Wade and kill more babies the next year? What is happening?
Yeah, it's the reality that child-age-bearing women are Gen Zs and millennials, and they live on the internet. They are born with the internet. I'm older than the internet, actually, Jesse.
And sorry, Dan.
Yeah. Anyway, they're reaching their friends on the internet, their entertainment on the internet. They get their packages delivered from Amazon on the internet, and they get their abortion pills on the internet, mifepristone, misoprostol, you know, RU46. And so it doesn't matter whether abortion's legal or not, because they can get it on the internet, delivered to their mailbox, and who's going to know? And that's happening, you know, 600,000 times every year. It also goes to the point about defunding Planned Parenthood. Certainly, we want to defund Planned Parenthood, and that's a great thing. But what we need to do is we need to have an alternative to Planned Parenthood for these young women. where they're reached online, and that's so now 65% of all abortions are digital, chemical abortion, chemical pills procured digitally on the internet, and this is where preborn comes in, you know, reaching them. So
now, Dan, you mentioned 2 years, helping them for 2 years. Now, I know about this because you and I have spoken privately before a couple times, but could you explain to people listening, what does that mean? Do you just bring these women in and give them an ultrasound and they get to hear the heartbeat and they choose life and then you pat them on the rear end on the way out the door and say, have a good one, best of luck, or what else happens after that?
Right, yeah. So it's one thing to say you shouldn't have an abortion, but what are we going to say when they say, are you going to pay for my doctor visit? My boyfriend's going to kick me out. I don't have a place to live. You know, I don't have a job. And so that's where preborn comes in for 2 years, helping them with resources and referrals to pro-life providers so that they can have the ability, empowering women to choose life. And whether that's finances, whether that's, you know, baby clothes, and, you know, a lot of women, for instance, don't have the money for a crib. They're putting their babies in dresser drawers, you know, so we give them free cribs. And the biggest thing we give them, frankly, is baby food and diapers. I think of one story here a while back. Jesse, I was sitting in one of our pregnancy clinics, and a woman came in, and she had chosen life, and her baby had a special need for a certain kind of baby formula, and it was the kind that we never get. I mean, it's very expensive, very unusual, you know, there's some stomach issue or something. So anyway, she's in the clinic, and we went back and we looked at our supply and we didn't have that. And so we prayed, and we were talking to her about where she might find that and maybe give her some money to try to go buy it. And somebody knocks on the door, comes in our clinic with a case of this very special baby food at that moment. So this is the supernatural things that happen every day in these clinics. And, you know, that's why it's so important, you know, not just to be medically excellent, which we are, but also to put the Lord of heaven and earth, who's able to do anything, in charge of this deal. And we need it, because Planned Parenthood is a behemoth, man. It's a $1.2 billion baby-killing monster.
He is Dan Steiner. I wanted you to hear it from him. He is the one who this thing's on his heart. I know it's on your heart because I talk to you about it every single night. This is what you do at preborn. Those young ladies who are blessed and choose life, that is what you do when you help preborn out, when you help Dan out. And I wanted you to hear it from him, not me. Dan, God bless you as always, my brother. I appreciate you very much.
Thanks to each listener so much, and you, Jesse.
Appreciate you, brother. Yeah, it's one of those things that those of us who were raised a little differently, right? Sometimes we struggle with that. Just telling somebody no oftentimes is not enough. You need to give somebody an alternative. And that's what I like. Anyway, I wanted you to hear from preborn. That's all. And if it is on your heart, if you would like to save one of those lives, you know where to go. Preborn.com/Jesse. That's where you go. All right. All right. Let's do some emails next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Trump is very angry with Putin, and we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes, and then we'll get to why they're angry about Tom Holman and black fatigue, which apparently this is a thing that's going to be part of the conversation out there. I'll explain what's actually going on there, but I'm going to do a bunch of emails right now. Dear Shogun Oracle, how incredulous do you get? That's a great word, incredulous, Chris. Remind me, I want to use that word tomorrow. Yeah, I will. How incredulous do you get when you hear the commies say women in charge wouldn't cause war? I'm in week 3 of bike path negotiations between the ladies in my neighborhood, and frankly, I think all these ladies would rain hellfire missiles upon each other if they thought it would increase their property values $1,000 or so. Well, look, I don't necessarily know that women have to be indicted as a whole, but it is probably the most laughable thing I hear by all these insane feminists out there, that the world would be more peaceful if women ran it. Anybody who's ever been part of a sports team, a business, or anything like that where a bunch of women are gathered together, any of them can tell you exactly how women interact when you get too many of them with each other. Have you ever seen, speaking of which, you want to talk about women getting too angry, women fighting? Chris, get ready, because this is coming for you. Corey, it's coming for you too, as a matter of fact. Get ready, because your wife's going to get involved. Let me explain something. Your children now are small. They're going to grow. And as they grow, they are inevitably going to be involved in some sort of music or play in school. Every single school does it. Little Billy joins the choir. Little Sarah starts to play the flute, whatever it is. They all get involved. And there's going to be a school concert. You may not think about this. In fact, you would never think about this because you're both dudes. I would never think about this either. But the good camera space at these concerts, the first couple rows, you better be prepared to fight for it. Because your wife is going to be prepared to fight for it. You see, she's not just there for Aiden, Jaden, and Braden. She is there to put pictures and videos on Facebook. And she wants the good angle to see Aiden play the clarinet or whatever he happens to do. And if another woman happens to cross her path or try to body her out of the good camera angles, ooh boy, I'm telling you right now, it's going to look like Dresden in that place. What, Chris? What? You said that's why you spent a couple $100 on a nice lens? No, Chris, you don't understand what we're dealing with here. You don't understand the levels of anger you will deal with when these women are fighting for the space to get the good Facebook pictures. I've seen it. I've lived it. I watched a video the other day. It was in a church. I don't know what the event was. It was in a church, and these women started hitting each other. Hey, big hands, I question your theory on Epstein's death. How can the most narcissistic man on earth know anyone he loves more than himself, especially when he has the goods on all the other narcissists? Well, I mean, my theory on Epstein's death was, it wasn't me saying that's what I thought. It was just me saying, I don't understand why the controversy over saying he killed himself. I've always believed that was an option, a likely option that he was forced to, that someone basically held up a picture of a loved one and said, we're going to torture them to death if you don't kill yourself tonight. I always assumed that was part of the equation. You say he's a narcissist. Buddy, I am a dude, and so I like crime. I mean, hold on, let me clarify. I'm fascinated by stories of famous criminals and mobsters and Pablo Escobars and all those things. Yes, all those guys are narcissists, and they're all violent, and they're all murderers, and they're all this and that. Almost everyone I've ever read about had somebody in their life they loved a lot. Even narcissists have people in their life they don't want to die. Jesse, publicly visible hatred is the subject of this one. What started it and when did it start? All the publicly visible hatred we are now seeing throughout the world. I love the show. You're the best. Okay, so we should remember a couple things. First, there's been hatred throughout the world since the world started. That is part of our fallen nature as human beings. We will be jealous of each other. We will compete, not in healthy ways, in terrible ways with each other. We will try to take what other people have. There will be rifts, real major rifts between religions and races and nationalities and all kinds of people. This is the human condition. You ask why it's so publicly visible now. One, that's part of the negative of social media. There's a lot of positive to social media, but part of the negative is you can immerse yourself in horrible news all day long. And I want to caution you against that. It's very easy to do that, especially if you have time on your hands, but depending on your job, or maybe the kids are growing up and you don't have as many responsibilities at the house, whatever the case may be. Maybe you're retired. Because of social media, because of smartphones and iPads and these things, you can stay on social media all day long and you can immerse yourself in whatever kind of hatred or violence or filth you want to. If you want to sit and obsess right now, you want to turn off the Jesse Kelly Show and go obsess on Russia, Ukraine, since we're actually about to talk about that very briefly next hour. You could look, I could direct you. I'm not going to. You could go look at videos of people stabbing each other to death and stuff like that. But that's all online. You can go down that rabbit hole and see all the death and dismemberment and destruction you'd like. If you, Israel Hamas, it's actually a great one. 90% of social media now is Jew haters arguing with Jew lovers about that. It's everything. It's Israel. It's Palestine. It's Hamas. It's America. It's dominating social media. And if you want to go down that rabbit hole and you want to watch Hamas butchering people, or you want to watch something horrible happen, and you want to embrace all the rhetoric on one side or the other, you can do it. Make yourself as miserable as you want. Pick the subject. The information that can make you angry is available, widely available now at your fingertips. You're holding it in the palm of your hands. It's in your phone. At your fingertips, you can wade into everything. It's not that there's any more hatred now than there ever was. It's that it's more easy to see it. If it was even the year 1920, I'll say, and there was a terrible war in Russia, Ukraine, you would read about it in the newspaper. Maybe you'd go to the local theater, if there even was one, if you had one, and maybe they'd show some news clips during the intermission, which is what they used to do. That's how they share the news. So maybe you'd see a clip or something like that. But if you wanted to wade into Russia, Ukraine, you couldn't wade into it for most of human history. Now you can let it consume you all day long. Make sure you're nice and miserable by the time you go to bed. The hatred's the same. Now, I will say, because people can see it more easily now and share it more easily, people will be more performative about it now probably than they used to be. All right, let's talk Russia, Ukraine, because Trump is angry at Putin. Let's talk about that. But let me talk to you about what I got to experience yesterday. Remember how I told you I went to a barbecue after the show was done? Went to the neighborhood barbecue? Yeah, somebody made a brisket. I didn't make the brisket, Chris, by the way. My neighbor did. Brian's his name. It was perfect. He told me right when I walked in the door, Jesse, you got to try this. I finally started using the IQ sense. You see, we gave out IQ sense, these wireless cooking thermometers. We gave them out as housewarming gifts. And the entire neighborhood now, they brag about them. You want to make meat perfect every time? You leave the thermometer in the meat. Your phone will tell you when it's done. It's perfect every time, no matter what you're making. Go get one. ChefIQ.com, promo code Jesse. ChefIQ.com, promo code Jesse. Trump is angry with Putin. What's going on? Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.